Luke chapter 5, we're going to continue about the new wine, and I have a couple of things that I'd like for us to explore tonight. Who agrees with me that God is constantly bringing about new things? Amen? And how many of us would agree with me that in order to keep up with the changes, so to speak, that keep up with the new, that we have to adjust our mindsets primarily, and sometimes even our methods? Yes? Okay? All right, so let's look at Luke chapter 5. Who would like to read verses 36 through 39 of Luke 5, please?
A parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better.
Very good. Who has found out, let's kind of illustrate that last point. Who's ever watched a movie that's an original movie, and then years later they do the remake, and who agrees with me that the old is better?
Yes.
You know, to me, I don't care who you cast as Moses. In my mind, it'll always be whom? Charlton Heston. Exactly. You know, before the Passion of the Christ, I would always see that fair-skinned, blue-eyed Jesus. But now, I think he was English, wasn't he, in the 70s? But after the Passion of the Christ, who can picture Jesus other than that actor? I can't. The old is better. Now, let's talk about this, okay? Because this, when we break it down into a spiritual situation, you know, I remember, I have the fondest memories of being new in God's kingdom. Who still has memories of being new in God's kingdom? Some of you were so young that you probably don't remember when you prayed the prayer, or, you know, made the declaration, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and were baptized subsequently. But I remember as a teenager the feeling I had, because when the Word of God was taught, when worship was had, because it was so new to me, I had never seen anything like it in my life, in my young life. I had never heard the Word of God be so living and powerful and attention-grabbing as it was when I was a teenager. Worship was just through the roof. I had never felt the Holy Spirit the way I had begun to feel the Holy Spirit's presence. Who's with me? You know, so we have to be careful, because when we say that, then that creates a baseline for us of what is new. And sometimes if we're not careful, we want to gravitate toward what? Toward the old and say, well, the old is better, because I remember when, you know, I reached a point in that church when I went off to college that I left my heart back in the teens, and here I am approaching 20 years old, and I remember having a conversation with my younger brother saying, I wish Pastor would preach on and teach on the subjects that he used to teach on instead of what he's teaching on now. Okay, so y'all are very learned people. What's the problem with that kind of thinking? I wish he would teach what he taught when I was 16 and 17 and 18. But now he's teaching different stuff. What am I hung up on? The past. Do you see that we could easily fall into that kind of trap? That, you know, I'm not teachable now, and I'm comparing what was done in yesteryear with what is being done now. And the problem with that then is that I can miss God's newness, God's new wine for my life, if I don't adjust my mindset, right? Since we're talking about new wineskins, Let's talk about old wineskins. I'll start off with one. Could an old mindset be an old wineskin? Can God pour new wine into an old mindset? What's another thing that falls under an old wineskin? What's that? Old habits. Very good. Very good, Miss Stormy. Always done it that way. Isn't that what ticked off the Pharisees and the Sadducees and wanted Jesus crucified? Right? Because he was not falling into line with the way they thought keeping the law was to be done. Okay, so let's begin with the old mindset. So are we really open to when God wants to do something new? A couple weeks ago, I told the youth search team, I was explaining something, and I said, look, I'm going to get it out of the way. I'm probably not what you envisioned as a pastor, having a pastor when you first, you know, began the search for a minister. Hello. But who would agree with me that it's working?
Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Normie. Right? We wanted new people coming. We wanted... Thank you. I had one vote. There's always one in a crowd here, Mr. Scott. But it's working. I'm thankful that... Listen carefully. I'm thankful that you guys did not have old mindsets and said, well, he doesn't fit into our mold. And believe ye me that there were many churches, and I don't mean one or two, I mean many churches that wanted, they grilled me with a whole Oral Roberts University educational experience because of that 1987. He said it in 87 at a chapel service. It went over everybody's head. When I heard it, I was like, should I take this seriously or not? Because Oral, listen, if something always surrounded Oral Roberts, it was controversy. Always. Always. And who remembers when he went on television, went up to the prayer tower? He was going to stay there until he said, God told me that I'm supposed to raise $8 million for medical missions. And if I don't raise these $8 million by this deadline, God's going to take me home. Well, you can imagine, oh my gosh, when that hit the airwaves on secular outlets, news outlets, well, he was lampooned. Everybody just turned against even the student body. The Methodist Church, the Methodist denomination says, from here on, we will no longer ordain graduates of Oral Roberts University. Hey, yo, I didn't put Oral up in that prayer tower, and I didn't tell him to make that claim. Why are you taking it out on me? Not that I necessarily like the Methodists. I mean, I'm not against it, but I wasn't pursuing that. But I wondered how many of my friends whose faith tradition was rooted and grounded in Methodism, and now they have to look elsewhere or transfer. And listen carefully, some students transferred to other universities. Can we say there's always a price to pay with the new? And listen, I learned immediately not to get involved in that, and especially after I graduated. Listen, I've told you before, let me just kind of give you a taste of the spiritual, and here's a million-dollar word, milieu, the spiritual climate of our country when I graduated from ORU. And that was right in the wake of not only Oral Roberts making that claim, it was the PTL club going belly up and all the controversy with, remember Jerry Falwell said, you know, he struck a deal with Jim Baker. He said, I will I'll be your conservator of this ministry up until you get back on your feet. And as soon as the papers were signed over to Jerry Falwell, he backstabbed publicly. Jim Baker called him a cancer in the body of Christ. I'm like, wow. I thought, this is horrible. These are God's children, the leaders of the church, going at it in front of a dying world. Yes, sir. Jimmy Swaggart. Well, and then he wasn't only caught once soliciting a prostitute. He was caught a second time soliciting a prostitute, once in 88 and then once in 91 or 3. And I'm just like, I'll be honest with you. I did not want to. I felt like I was carrying Oral Roberts on my back. I felt like I was carrying Jim Baker on my back. I felt like I was carrying Jimmy Swaggart on my back, though I had not done anything wrong or deviated from the path of holiness. They did. And I was, listen, I'm just talking about my youthfulness, okay? I would handle that differently now because I'm a different person now. But I was embarrassed at times when I would go get my hair cut and I was being asked, what do you do for a living? And so the best I could come up with is, I'm into life insurance. I just didn't tell them it was eternal life insurance. And, oh, who do you work for? The richest Jew in the world? It was a bad time. Old habits could undermine our walk, or the new wineskin that God wants to do, or the it's always been done that way before. Okay, so there are, how do we adjust our mindsets? Two ways. Two simple ways. Number one, education. I don't mean going to school and getting a degree. That's not what I mean. If you understand the full meaning of educate, who would agree with me that we are all being educated on a daily basis if we have the right mentality, that we don't have to be in a classroom or take an online course to be educated? If we are lifelong learners, we can be continually educated, right? Isn't that what the Lord wants us to be, lifelong learners? You know, I've met ministers, some minister friends of mine. There was a time that once they graduated from seminary, they were done learning, and you couldn't teach them. You couldn't teach an old dog new tricks, and so they were going to be stick in the muds. And who's ever been around a stick in the mud? And I once had a friend of mine. Well, I'll save that for the second point. Okay, so educate. From the Latin, we get educare. We get our English word educe. Educe, which means two things. Listen, to bring out and to develop. Who believes with me that education is more than just learning trivial facts about life? True education will bring out our full potential. Right? True education will bring out our full potential. And the second part of that definition, educe, is to develop. It develops us. Illustrate it. Let me illustrate it. Okay, so as soon as I graduated from high school, I went to the University of Texas at El Paso for a year and a half. I was hoping to get as many of my basic education out of the way without incurring debt to pay for it. In fact, it was so cheap back in the mid-80s to go to the University of Texas at El Paso that they would pay me money after all the accounts were settled. I would end up with a couple hundred bucks after all the tuition was paid for, after all my books were paid for. But I knew that God was calling me to ministry, and they did not have a ministry program. Okay, but the only languages I knew, and this is strictly from growing up, I knew English and I knew Spanish. So I took three courses of French at the University of Texas at El Paso. Okay, so I begin to, am I being developed? I'm expanding, right? Isn't it funny that when you learn new things, your mind begins to do what? What happens to your worldview? Does it get smaller? It expands. It gets broader. Okay? I took a couple more classes of French at ORU, and then I took three classes on Greek. So what's my mind doing? It's expanding. I took Hebrew. What's my mind doing? And all the while, listen carefully, I'm not talking about, once again, I know this, I just finished saying it's not about in-class learning. It's about being teachable. Who would agree with me that I'm being transformed as I'm learning new things? Right? What's the importance of education with regards to spiritual wine? New wine. Right? It's important, isn't it? And then, here's another one for you. My only concept of Christianity that I had been exposed to was Catholicism at that point in my life when I graduated from high school, and the charismatic church that I attended from the age of 16 on through. We, you know, Cindy and I are planning on going to El Paso, good Lord willing, next year, and we're going to go to that church. I saw that church grow. I grew with that church up until the time I went to college and then got into full-time ministry. But what was my point for that? But my only concept of Christianity was just seeing Mexicans and Caucasians and a few African Americans gathered together to worship the Lord. Right? And the only styles I was exposed to up to that point in my life were very structured Catholicism and charismatic, spontaneous worship. And then I go to ORU, where you have all these students that come from all over the world. Yoo-hoo, not just in the Southwest part of the United States, from all over the world, and I forge relationships with these people. Don't you think that they're teaching me things about the Lord that I've never even heard at that point in my life? What does that do to my concept of Christianity? Can I tell you something? Once I was having a conversation. He's a sweetheart of a guy. I haven't seen him, haven't spoken to him since the early 90s. I pray that somehow the Lord will make us cross paths. But Oscar, Omar Cabrera, his father pastors the third largest church in the world in South America. They have 300,000 people attend a church. We were very good friends. We would study together, and so and we would always speak in Spanish together. So that was a fun commonality. But I remember getting together with him, and he would tell me, you know, because we would drink coffee, and he would not drink coffee. He would have this mate. You guys probably know now they sell it at Starbucks decades later. But I had some of that when it was fresh from the South America before it was packaged. You Americans are such, like what we talked about 2 weeks ago, you're like the hesitance. You wait till it's popular, and I grew up with it, you know, like pozole. Who's heard of pozole? You guys call it pozole. What is pozole? It's hominy and pork tripe, and I say pork tripe, everybody's like, ah. You're eating intestines, people. But it tastes good. Anyway, so He told me, he said, I don't drink coffee because in my country, in the churches in my country, drinking caffeine is a sin. But he said, but we will have wine in breakfast, we'll have wine for lunch, we'll have wine for supper. You know what that little encounter did to me? It's like saying, Joe, your Americanized concept of Christianity is very narrow. Yoo-hoo! I mean, this guy loved the Lord. He was dedicated to the Lord. But when we are exposed to different manifestations of Christianity other than the one we've had, something's going to give. Either we'll reject them or we will grow. Right? Wouldn't it be better for us to be teachable and allow for God to expand our worldview to be something bigger? What would that education do to we've always done it this way before? What would it do? Right? So that's the first one, education. Any comments, any questions? Number two, I've alluded to it. Exposure. You know, in the late 60s, God began to move powerfully in the United States, and it was dubbed the Jesus Movement. Out of the Jesus Movement, I would consider that new wine. I mean, guys still talk about that to this day. They talk about how you could stand at any street corner, any nerd could stand at a street corner and say, Jesus is Lord, and you would have people drop on the spot and repent of their sins and say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. And a lot of these non-denominational churches that you see now, they exploded during the Jesus Movement. They just begin as little home Bible studies. And God's Spirit was moving so powerfully that you had the Calvary Church chain or fellowship of churches explode all over the country. You had the the Vineyard with John Wimber. Churches explode all over the country. And pretty soon they exploded. The growth was staggering. They went from small, they went to a bigger building to now to where they have buildings that seat 20 or have people coming on a regular basis, 20,000 weekly. And so they have several services of auditoriums that seat about 5,000, 6,000. Incidentally, do you know what the largest building, church building in the world is? Who knows what it is? It's called the Faith Dome in Nigeria, Africa. Guess how many people it seats? 100,000. It's called the Faith Dome. Who believes with me that God's new wine is always exceeding abundantly above, or exceedingly abundantly more, or how does it go? Exceeding abundantly more than we can ever dare, we can ever dare to ask or even imagine. Right? Someone caught a vision of building a building that seats 100,000 people. We Americans build a building, you know, seats 3,000. Woo! Those Christian Nigerians, man, they're building tens of thousands of seats in a building because of new wineskins. It is because of exposure. So listen, the less exposure we have to God's new, how's that going to leave us in our walk with God? Understand that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I went to a charismatic church. The kid that led me to Christ, listen, this is a very, very real testimony to God's glory and His glory alone. I began to, he went to that church, Abundant Living Faith Center in El Paso. It was growing at the time that I went there. They had about 2,000 people going back in the early 80s. And it grew. Now it has about over 20,000 regular or weekly attenders, over 20,000 weekly attenders to this church. And I started going to that church. And of course, you know, the Pharisee within my parents, you know, they start saying, well, you know, you had you followed Catholicism the right way, you wouldn't have to go to these churches. Well, you know, it's always been a mystery to me. Why do you get mad that I don't go to the church that you yourself don't even go to? But, hey, baby, it's been 7 years since I've seen you trot down that street to go to Mass in that church. Or how about my uncle who used to take me to very bad spots in Mexico where they don't card. I was 15. They didn't card, but I should have been 21 going to those places. And when I got saved, he's like, the only reason you're become a Protestant, Joe, I'm telling you, is because you didn't follow Catholicism the way you should have. And I thought, and you're following Catholicism, taking me to these questionable places? See the hypocrisy of it all, church family? Wow, this is ridiculous. But I'm telling you, we all need education and we all need exposure to be new wineskins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this time in your word, Lord. Help us to always be expandable wineskins, to be able to facilitate the new wine that you have for us in our lives. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for being so good. And we pray that you would continue to provide us with new wine here at Locust Grove, but help us facilitate that new wine with new wineskins. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.